If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy replay podcast.
How much do you think you spend every month on dating? Okay. And this is whether you're single or in a relationship. You can text us at 92925. Andy, what's that number for you? It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, by the way. Good morning.
It's going to seem big, but I would say $200.
$200 a month.
Yeah.
This is dinners. Most of your dates are dinners?
Yeah, I'd say so. So that would be, let's break it down, like $50 a week. So one dinner out a week. We don't go crazy or
that's
anything.
That's it, though. Like,
$50 for the both of you for a dinner?
Well, usually maybe a little bit more, but not by a lot.
Okay.
And if we do spend a lot one week, maybe we'll go a little bit cheaper the next week. Like, we'll just have usually one drink at dinner, maybe two, and then no dessert or anything
okay.
like that.
Okay, yeah. $200 a month for you. Mm-hmm. All right, Sam?
I'm trying to think of the last time we actually went out. Very little.
Yeah?
Very little. I'm going to say like tops, like $80 maybe.
Bucks. Do you always pay when you guys go out for a date?
It's 50-50. It's 50-50? Always 50-50, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's very nice.
We always remind ourselves like, who's got this one? Did you get the last one?
Like it matters. What about you?
Andy, do you still always pay? I'm just curious. Or you guys
no,
go
not always.
Back and forth?
I'm happy to, but no, if it's Kelly, a place that Kelly really wants to go or her suggestion or whatever, then she'll pay, yeah.
Okay, you asked me.
Yeah.
The answer is the boys pay.
Oh, of course.
Every time.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I paid on a date. It's happened before. I always offer, and it definitely has happened in the past, but generally the guys will pay.
Are you talking first dates or every date? Because
well,
first dates, I would understand.
Once I'm in a relationship, I'm not going to expect mm-hmm. someone to pay for me yeah. for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You expect the guy to pay for the first date and then maybe the second date? Or
first
like
10
what's your...
years or so.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Until
okay.
he puts a ring on
so
it.
So they found that the average person spends $121,000 on dating in their lifetime. So this is
Come
when they're
on.
Single and they're sort of playing the field a bit and then continues on into marriage. $121,000. Wow.
That's huge. That's huge. I mean, I'd love to know what percentage of that is when you're single versus after you're married.
Well, okay, it's funny because I would have thought that you would spend more money on dating while you're single.
Yeah, me
Wouldn't
too.
You assume?
It felt like it because you're trying to impress someone else.
Actually, not the case. Dating costs $168 a month on average when you're single, but it increases when you're married up to $185 a month to keep the spark alive, I guess.
I'm assuming most of that is alcohol related. You're just sort of drowning your feelings and yeah, let's have another bottle of wine.
Actually, maybe you do drink more. Yeah, that would make sense. That actually would make sense because if you don't know someone very well, you're
exactly.
not going to drink as much.
Mm-hmm. All I can say after, because this is astounding, this number. I mean, all I can say is thank God for the bring your own wines in Montreal, because I know when I was on the dating scene, I mean, that was like the go-to. Find a good bring your own wine, save a good 50, 60 bucks
on your move.
Well, why wouldn't you when you're
Please.
On the dating scene? I mean, it adds up, as you can see.
Please, I'm not mad at that. I'm not.
Okay.
I've gone to great bring your own wine places before. There's a great Indian restaurant near Jean Talon it's the most delicious.
Yeah, Côte Jean Talon, you're
yeah,
good to go.
Yeah, and you can bring your own wine. It's great. But Sam, don't tell me you run to the Depp and grab a bottle of wine and then meet them at the restaurant.
What do you think the Depp next to the bring your own wines are for?
He does.
Everyone that goes to the restaurant goes to the Depp right next
he
door.
Does. I knew it.
All your finest $10 bottle of wine.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
The four things you'll regret when you're older. And we sort of started talking about this yesterday after our show. And there was one that I wasn't comfortable with. The other ones I thought were great advice. We want to know what you think as always. So you can text us this morning at 92925. All right. The four things that we'll regret when we're older. I'll start at number four.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, worrying too much about other people.
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't worry about other people, do you?
Rarely worry about myself. That's the problem. I worry too little.
Well, we tend to focus a lot of our energy on other people. Sometimes that comes in the form of us just trying to take care of everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
We know like a lot of women give all of their energy to the people around them and men too. And then sometimes it's worrying about what other people will think too.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
I think if you're worrying about other people and their well-being and just making sure that they're well taken care of, then that's very admirable and noble of you.
You just got to remember to take care of yourself once in a while,
right.
too.
Of course, yeah, of course. But when it comes to being jealous of other people and what they have versus what you don't have or what other people think, that's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's tough. We've all been there.
Yeah,
I had to learn it, how to like start really genuinely start living for myself and what made me happy and not what people around me were going to think.
I thought I could change the world when I was in my 20s. Every friend I had, I was like, yeah, I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you a better person. You can't change people.
You can
try, but good luck.
Everybody's on their own journey.
Exactly.
All right, so we agreed on that one. These are the four things we'll regret when we're older. Next, dwelling on your mistakes and shortcomings.
Yeah, of course, because you're going to, you know, you make one mistake and you start thinking about it and it distracts you and you overthink and then you think you're a terrible person for what you did. Everybody makes mistakes.
And the thing is, when that is a habit of yours and when you're consistently doing it, the result is low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's not just saying I'm bad at this one thing, but slowly your mind starts to sort of be wired in a way that tells you you're just not good.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Okay. But we can work on these things now.
We can.
Okay. The next one, not asking for help. You guys...
I mean, I've always found myself to be a little bit stubborn in that if there's something I can't do, it's almost like I admit failure.
Mm-hmm.
If asking for help, and maybe it's a guy thing, maybe it's the way I was raised or wired or whatever, but I just remember so many times when I was a teenager not asking for help, knowing full well that I had no idea what I was doing.
It's for sure not a guy thing. I can promise you that. No.
Good.
Honestly, thank God for YouTube because that when I need help, that's where I go.
That's where you go.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I had a really hard time too. I grew up sort of independent, taking care of my sister and my family too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough in relationships as you get older because you realize everybody wants to feel needed and everybody wants to do their part. And if you're in a relationship with somebody, with a woman who's like, no, I got it. I can do this. I can do this. I find it's hard on guys. I don't think they love that.
When I was younger, I used to mow lawns. That was just a part-time summer job. And I remember there's one lawn right across the street from our house. I couldn't change the bag on the lawnmower. And I just got so, so frustrated. My dad was trying to help me and I told him that I didn't want help. And he got upset at me and he's like, you're being so stubborn. Stop being, you know, start asking for help. It's going to get you a lot farther in life. And I remember that ever since.
They said that people who ask for help actually appear to be a lot smarter than people who don't ask for help too.
Okay, I should start asking for more help because I still feel guilty asking for help like as an adult. I still feel like I can do everything myself and I don't want to impose on anyone.
Well, speak up and ask. And then the very last one, and this is one I found a bit questionable, trying to make bad relationships work. They said putting in your time in a good relationship is worth it, but when it's a bad relationship, you don't want to spend time on it. You want to move on because life is short. And this is the one that I mentioned would be different based on generations. Because,
okay,
you know, like my grandparents' generation would say, kids these days don't try hard enough in relationships and they give up way too easy. And then the younger generation would say, life's short, why bother?
Yeah, I mean, and they're kind of both right, aren't they? I mean, there's a kind of a happy medium.
Yeah,
a happy...
it's about finding, you gotta know when to fold them and know when to hold them,
know when to fold them. Yeah, know when to walk away, know when to run.
And also, don't beat a dead horse, honestly. If it's dead, like, forget it. I mean, come on, you're trying to milk something out of nothing.
Sometimes it can come alive again, you never know.
Well, have fun with that.
It's a great story, but is it true?
Time for Nikki, Sam, and Andy's to tell the truth.
We've got a complete stranger come in and visit us in the studio. They bring an amazing story, and along with your help on our text line at 92925, well, you basically just have to decide whether they're lying or telling the truth.
It's that simple.
All right.
Really is.
Ready to do this thing?
Ready.
Absolutely.
All right. There is a stranger making his way in. So if you could please introduce yourself and let us know why you're here this morning.
My name is Ellie Kaufman. I'm a PGA of Canada golf pro, and I teach Sam Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson?
You got it. Exactly.
Like the actor?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a good golfer?
He's not bad.
He's better than what he was before the summer.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, why does he need golf lessons?
As far as I know, the story, he's in town or has been in town recording at various times.
Okay.
And he's sort of on his off time. He's coming for lessons.
Okay.
Yeah.
I happen to have run into him once in Toronto.
Okay.
How tall is Samuel Jackson?
I think he looks, I don't know exact heights, but he's a little bit taller than I am. So I'm about 5'10". So I think he's probably about 5'11", 6 feet.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
What does he smell like?
I didn't get close enough to really give you a solid answer on that, but I try not to.
How long have you been teaching him?
Just the past season, about.
Oh, okay.
Only about, 3 weeks, I would say. There was 3 sessions.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Sam Jackson, he's known for his profanity. He's one of the best swearers in Hollywood.
Okay.
What's he like on the golf course? Is he just swearing up a storm?
he was very respectable. Every time I met him, he did not swear. I think most of the stuff we worked on, honestly, we did a lot of talking. There was a lot of mental game approach to everything that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually quite a decent golfer, but we sort of approached it differently. There wasn't a lot of physical part to it.
All right. Any weird quirks that you noticed on the golf course?
No, I mean, he was, you know, like I said, he was very respectable, decent man.
Okay.
But, you know, he liked to talk about a lot of other things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like all just golf.
Was he high maintenance at all? I mean, he's a big celebrity.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
You know what? He was very, sort of very low key, you know, had a hat on and sort of, and some glasses and just sort of kept to himself. Like he was really,
Made sure he was well hydrated the whole time?
Well, there was two people there, that there was one guy that held water, but that was about it. But there was,
that's all he did.
More water, Mr. Jackson.
So he's a little high maintenance. He's a water guy.
It wasn't bad. Like I said, it was actually, I was really impressed. You know, like he was just like an everyday kind of guy.
So who paid for the beers from the golf cart? The beer cart. Was it him?
You know what? Our facility doesn't even have like it's a different kind of facility. But we, you know, there isn't anybody running around with
this
beer,
facility so. You speak of. Where is it?
So I run an independent golf academy called the Range Golf Academy, and we work out of Meadowbrook Golf Club. So it's very, very low key.
Here?
Yeah, exactly. Right on the island of Montreal.
So Samuel L. Jackson, you were teaching him here?
Yeah.
He was here all summer?
He was there when he was with me. Yes. Was he here the whole summer? I don't know.
Did he fly in just to work with you? You're that much of a...
As far as I know, what I was told, he was here recording or filming rather. And then after that, I don't know what he did. So he just, you know, came to see me and that was it.
All right. Do you think golfers have to be in great shape, like athletic abilities?
Athletically, no.
I know, but I'm just saying generally.
I used to be 260 pounds when I played at my peak.
Wow, come on.
Okay. At your peak?
At my peak, yeah. My life changed because now I do other things, triathlons.
Walk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I walk a little more than I used to. So,
can you still call it a sport if you don't have to be in have any athletic ability to do it?
I always found it hard to call myself an athlete as a golfer when I looked like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm much more comfortable calling myself an athlete at this point, and it's not because I play golf.
All right, we are joined this morning by Ellie Kaufman. Mm-hmm. Nice guy. He alleges that he taught Samuel L. Jackson how to golf here in Montreal this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Golf pro.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal to teach somebody like Sam Jackson how to golf.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree with that. Is he lying or is he telling the truth, though? What are people saying on the text line?
It's pretty split. We got this text I like. He's, I was going to say he was lying, but now I have a feeling he's telling the truth. He seems calm about his answers. Maybe he's just nervous. But on the flip side, this text says, my 7-year-old says he's lying. His voice is too shaky and too nervous.
It's funny because you get the polar opposites. You have people saying it's so obvious he's lying based on the way his voice is shaking, and then other people saying it's so obvious that he's confident and knows what he's saying. So it's tough. It's all about your perception.
Some people are so split. This woman says that her 7-year-old says he's lying, so I'm going to go with him.
Go with the kids.
They know. All right. Some people are mentioning they know the golf course, so he must be telling the truth because they know where that is.
Wow.
Somebody else mentioned they didn't hear about Samuel L. Jackson being in town, so maybe it's not true.
It's low key. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes celebrities do sneak in and
for sure.
Especially
they don't want to be known.
Especially if he was just like came here for sessions too. Mm-hmm, anyway. All right. Ellie Kaufman. Andy, do you want to take your guess first this morning?
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going to say that you're lying. And you know what? You told a great tale. But I think there's one thing that stood out to me. It was when I said that Samuel Jackson is such, he's known for his swearing and he's such a good swearer. And you seem surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you knew Samuel Jackson, if you hung out with Samuel Jackson, you'd watch some of his movies, you wouldn't have seemed so surprised.
Okay.
You know, get these MRFing snakes off the MRFing
Andy,
plane.
It's a script. He was reading the script.
Movies aren't real life, Andy.
But even in movies, he swears more than anybody else, and you seemed genuinely surprised by that. I'm going to say you're lying.
I just love how Andy said, if you knew Samuel Jackson, as if he does.
Yeah, really.
Like, you should, coming from someone in his close circle.
He clearly doesn't know Samuel L. Jackson.
I know it.
All right. I'll go next.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that you're telling the truth. I know absolutely nothing about golf. I played golf for the first time in years this summer, and I held it like a hockey stick. The golf club.
That's a good start.
You just don't seem like the type of guy who lies. I don't think he came in here to tell us a lie this morning. I think you're a professional. I think you're telling the truth. I think it actually happened.
I you don't seem like a liar, and your story was pretty flawless. And again, I had a very brief encounter with Samuel L. Jackson.
It
maybe for 2.5 seconds.
What is humble brags?
But in those 2.5 seconds, and it could have been me just sort of putting him on a pedestal, but he struck me as being a little taller than 6'1". I think he was in the 6'2 to 6'3 tops category. Yeah. So just based on that 2.5 second interaction, I think that you sort of underestimated his height, and for that reason only, I'll say you're lying.
Really? Really? Okay, they both think they're lying because they think they know Samuel L. Jackson is the point.
I do more so.
Wow. Okay, I think you're telling the truth. I am bad at this game. I'll admit it. Ellie Kaufman, have you actually been teaching Samuel L. Jackson how to golf?
I have not.
No. Oh!
I knew it!
Brutal. That wasn't fair.
I knew it like I know Sam Jackson.
I should have known his height, but no, I no.
Are you a golf pro?
I am, yes.
You are a golf pro. Yeah. Have you ever taught any celebrities?
No one really. I mean, we do have like random agents that call for like to book people.
Right.
And no, they haven't been any like high level celebrities of any sorts, but like, you know, usually business people from out of town.
Right. Okay. So you are not close and personal friends with Samuel L. Jackson like Sam and Andy are.
No, exactly. No, okay. No, yeah.
Next time I see him, I'll tell him you say hi.
Hilarious. Okay. You fooled me, Ellie. Nice work.
Thank you
so much.
All right, my pleasure.
All right.
Okay.
I won last week. I actually got
That's
it right
true,
last week.
You did.
So I was hoping for a streak there, but
going back in history. We got a texture that says, I thought he was telling the truth. I think he's only shaky because Nikki's single.
Oh, Sam, he's like,
I should have
waited until he walked out of the studio to say that.
Sorry.
Just make my morning as awkward as you possibly can.
That's right. She's single.
Oh, God.
Anyone else out there?
Thanks, guys.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.